All right. It's been a week since we were together, so let's jump back into John 8. Remember, we were discussing this woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. What was one of the red flags that we had said was missing? Like, it was a red flag because there's a critical detail missing.
They didn't mention the guy.
Yeah, there's no guy mentioned, which kind of makes you think it's a shady dealing going on, that's happening. All right. And we spent some time last week discussing kind of some practical application about this. Do you guys remember what we spent time talking about? No, Pastor Brian, that was a week ago.
It was about the law.
And how, okay.
Like,
they were supposed to stone her. Yeah, so good, Zach. Yeah. So Zach is reminding us that first you sip on a juice box. That was mine. Then you want to sit there and talk during my class. Don't look at him like he's the guilty one. You. Alright. So, we were spending some time talking about things that are their rules or their laws, but is there room for the grace in them? Or how often do we actually follow through with what they are? Because remember, that's what is being played out with this woman is, hey, the law says we should stone her, but do we have to? So we were asking the question is, basically, just because you can, does that mean you should? You guys remember that? Okay, that was last week. Now that we kind of jump back into this passage, Jesus had confronted them and he says, let them without sin cast the first stone. So that's where we kind of got the idea of, hey, just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Because there is some self-reflection that should be happening. So how does this work in our lives? Like, what's it supposed to look like? What would this look like in your life? Are we supposed to, like, not tell people that they're sinning? Is that what we've learned? Well, I have sin, therefore I can never tell Ben that he's sinning. Is that what this means? I don't...
No.
What, Jeremy?
Judge yourself first.
Judge myself first. What do you mean?
Or, like, evaluate yourself first.
Okay, so I evaluate myself first. What does that mean?
Point the blame at anyone else, you look what's wrong with you first.
One more time, a little louder.
Before you point the blame at someone else, you look at yourself first.
All right, so how frequently do we do that?
Never.
Okay. Is that good?
No.
That bad? Indifferent? Because what's the natural response? If I can't tell Jaleel there is anything wrong with him until I first check myself, what is the default position then? Where do I go? What do I do? Do I actually start working on myself and like, hey, you need to fix this? Or do I just settle in with, well, Jaleel, you are good to go, my friend, because I ain't fixing me, therefore I won't tell you to fix you.
Don't fix yourself and you tell them what's wrong with them.
Yeah, that's usually what the default is that it's, well, there's nothing wrong with me, but there's everything wrong with Blake. Because we like that. We like to tell other people what they need to correct. But Jesus says, actually, you need to be not casting the stone because you have your sin first. Jeremy, do you know where your idea is coming from? That you need to judge your first self before you judge other people?
The log one.
The what?
The little splinter in the eye and the log one.
Yeah, okay. Anna?
Take the log out of your eye before you worry about the stone.
Okay, yeah, so you guys got the verses, but does anyone know where you can find it in your Bible?
In one of the Gospels.
Matthew 6.
Okay, so Zach narrowed us down to the Gospels because Jesus said it.
Well, the one starting with Anna.
He said it in the Sermon on the Mount.
All right, Nathaniel's got us zoned in even better. Nathaniel's got us going to the Sermon on the Mount. Where's the Sermon on the Mount?
16.
In Matthew, okay.
Matthew 7.
All right, where are we going, Mason?
Matthew.
All right, Mason, what in Matthew 7 do we need to read?
Jesus 5.
All right, go ahead, Mason. Nice and loud. They'll be quiet for you.
For this is he who has spoken of the prophets, Isaiah, when he said, the voice of one crying the word must prepare the way.
Are you in Matthew 7?
Oh, wait, no. I'm in Matthew 3.
Oh. All right, Matthew 7.
Oh, yeah. Why do you see the speckles in your brother's eye, but know that you do not know the law of them in your own eye? How can you say to a brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and you're able to walk in your own eye? You first take the log out of your own eye, and then you see clearly the speck of your brother's eye.
All right, so let's ask this question. We'll start easy. Usually around the first of the year, people start thinking of resolutions. Whether you do or not, doesn't really matter. You know the context. What's a resolution? What does that mean when people make New Year's resolutions?
Like a goal to be better or something.
Okay, go ahead, Ben.
Like a goal that you're going to try to improve, like a goal to improve on.
A goal to improve on yourself. Robert, what were you saying?
Yeah, I said something you want to do to better yourself.
Okay, all right. Has anyone ever made a resolution?
No.
Anyone ever made a New Year's resolution? Has anyone ever made a resolution, not necessarily at New Year's? You're just like, hey, you know what, I want to... Robert, what's the resolution you made?
Not being on technology.
Okay. Cutting back how much you're on tech. Malachi, have you ever made a resolution?
I remember one, but it didn't last out.
So what?
I always let somebody else go first.
I did. I let Robert go first.
What does that mean?
He said he remembers one, but it didn't last long.
Don't
worry. We'll go to Zach right after you.
Zach, don't say.
Oh, no. Zach gets to talk about himself. That's the whole point. Zach is very willing to bring up the issue in Malachi. But when we get to Zach, is Zach willing to, you know, spill the beans on himself? Malachi, no, like just
he's illustrating the lesson. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Zach. Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about something super spiritual. Malachi, didn't you get cut from a ball team once?
Ball team? What?
Ball team.
Did I get what?
Didn't you get cut from a team once?
No, he didn't.
Basketball.
No, I never got cut.
You never got cut? Okay, did you not make, like, I feel like there was some sort of resolution that you made about playing basketball.
I'm putting more shots every day.
And during games, yeah. So you're a ball hog now?
No, like during like off season.
Okay, so you made a resolution that you were going to work in the off season. Ben, you're a runner. What's the resolution you've made at some point in the past within running? Do you ever set a time, set a person to beat, anything like that?
Yeah.
What's one of?
Like, I don't know. Run.
You just run for the fun.
Run a certain time.
Okay. All right.
Probably. No, I don't run. No.
Anyone else ever made a resolution?
I used to.
We're not in the spiritual world yet. I know Robert kind of went there with the whole, a little bit with the not be on tech as much. Just a resolution, like something you wanted to do. Yeah. Zach, did you ever set a quota, like, hey, I want to mow, get X number of new customers, or I want to do so much in business? Did you ever do that?
I didn't really. It was just like a dollar amount.
Okay. What was the dollar amount?
I mean, last year it was like 30 or 40.
Dollars?
No,
like 1,000. Yeah. All right. So you had a dollar amount that you wanted to make. All right.
Oh, yeah, I did that. All
right.
Resolution, save up $3,000.
What was the 3K for?
My car.
All right. Did you buy it? Or are you still working on it?
No, I bought it.
Okay. All right. Hey, now let's talk about, other than the superficial things of sports and how much money you make, Sadie?
I made the resolution that I was going to try and work really hard in my schoolwork for the next year so that I could graduate early and start back work at Hobby Lobby.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's a good resolution. All right. So we are okay with making decisions and saying, hey, this is my goal, this is my objective. Now, you may have other goals, or anyone have a goal or objective that you haven't reached yet? You're like, this is, and let's be realistic. Don't tell me like it's to own a Lamborghini, okay? We all want to own a Lamborghini, all right? Tyler? Okay, so for you, the vehicle is still out there on the horizon. Robert?
Well, go to Duke.
You want to go to Duke?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going with that, buddy.
That's fine.
Okay.
I believe
Anna.
I believe
you
do that.
Okay. You want to get your grades up to make it into the college of your choice, okay?
What's your GPA?
4.9.
Okay. You need any classes?
All right. Hey, you guys can have that conversation later.
Later.
All right. But let's we have to turn this back to what Jesus is talking about, because Jesus' conversation is let the one without sin cast the first stone. How many of you like it when you have to deal with other people's sin? Like, you really enjoy other people sinning. Like, that's just fun. No, because usually, if we're honest, sin kind of sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Unless it's our own.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
and Robert. That's a fact.
Thanks for the transparency.
Yeah, but, I mean, let's be honest. Nathaniel, okay, if Naomi sins against you, it irritates you. At no point in time does Naomi's sin against you make you feel better. But each and every one of us is like, well, you know what? When I sin, I feel pretty good about it because that's what I want to do. So sin is one of those things that it's only good if it's ours, at least in how we feel. But the same is true even with what's acceptable. Okay, if we kept this very, you know, very light or whatever, then sure, it's wrong when my sibling loses their temper and they are disrespectful toward mom or dad. But it's okay if I do it. And I'm okay if I do it because I was justified in doing so. But hey, shame on you, Casey. You shouldn't have yelled at dad like that because you were upset. Like, has that ever happened in your house? No?
Yeah.
Raise your hand, Carter. Okay. We know. But that's how we are, is we like the idea of protecting ourselves and being defensive against other people. But Jesus does not leave it at that. He doesn't tell this woman, hey, it's okay, those guys are sinners too, and they've all left, the stones have been dropped to the ground. Don't worry, your life is no longer in danger. Does Jesus leave the story there?
No.
What does Jesus do? Let's pick up at verse 8. I need someone. So let's look at this. Someone read verse 6 for me. John 8, verse 6. Pause for right there. All right, so in verse 6, we have our first reference to he gets down, kneels, and he's drawing in the dirt. All right, Anna, read the next verse.
And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.
All right, pause. So Jesus gets down on a knee, kneels, whatever he's doing, and he's drawing in the dirt. They keep pressing him. And then he finally stops drawing. He stands up. He speaks. What we have is verse 7. Let whoever doesn't have sin throw the first rock. And then what does he do? Anna, read verse 8.
And once more he bent down and knelt.
And what's he doing on the ground?
Right.
Yeah, he goes back to doodling in the dirt. We don't know specifically, but he's drawing, piddling, whatever he's doing in the dirt.
Playing tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
Tic-tac-toe with the spirit.
He's doing something. Like, we don't know, and we talked about this briefly last week. Like, we don't know whether or not he's writing words, whether or not he's drawing pictures. We don't know anything, okay? They do. What, Robert, why do you think it's mentioned for a reason? And why do you think it's mentioned twice? Like, wouldn't Jesus have been justified enough to, like, just get down and draw in the dirt once? Oh, maybe he went back to finish the game of tic-tac-toe. All right. Why do you think Jesus goes back to the dirt?
Because he's trying to reward them.
Is he?
He's trying to get them.
All right, let's ask this. Mason, if I confront you and I say something to you that you don't like, and I sit here and I make like point-blank eye contact with you, and it's a staring contest, how comfortable are you if you're actually in trouble? You're not comfortable.
Yeah.
what Jesus, and then what ends up happening, guys, specifically, what happens if someone just wants to stare you down? Is that going to escalate or de-escalate the situation? It's going to escalate it. Like, what's the problem? Like, you said your piece, now move on. But that's what would happen if Jesus stayed there and he's like, all right, whoever doesn't have sin, cast the first stone. And if he stays up looking at everyone, what does Jesus see? He sees them leaving. He'll know who goes first, who doesn't, who goes last. But then we got to verse 8. And he bent down once more and wrote on the ground. So at this point in time in the narrative, they haven't walked away yet. They're circled around, if you will. And he has said, after already drawing in the dirt once, let whoever doesn't have sin cast the first stone. And he bends down once more and he draws again. And then we get to verse 9. Anna, will you read verse 9 for us?
But when they heard it, they went away and went by one.
All right, pause. Now they've heard what he had to say. And what's happening to this mob, if you will, that's surrounding this woman?
Certainly.
Yeah.
It's dissolving.
It's dissolving, one by one. You know, we don't know, and we'll speculate for just a moment. Like, we don't know who left first. But here's what we do have. Look at what the rest of the verse says. Anna, read that last phrase of verse 9. After they went away one by one.
Beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him.
All right, so how did this mob just dissipate? What just played out?
By
yeah. So, oldest to youngest. Why do you think that is?
Because the younger ones followed the older ones.
Okay, maybe it's because the younger ones follow the older ones. What else? Anna?
The older ones are more humble than the younger.
Older are more humble. Okay, Mason? The older are supposed to be the example. Yeah, so the mob, like this mob, whoever these people are that want the scribes and the Pharisees, that's who they are. What, Jeremy? Okay, so the older ones have more sin in their own lives. What?
No, I was going to say the older people have more sin.
Yeah, the older people have more sin. Hey, what also happens, you guys kind of know this, either from your own life or from movie and life experience that you're exposed to. What is it that ends up happening in any industry when you're brand new into it and it's something that you love? Versus, you've been doing this industry for a very long time.
So you're new to anything.
Yeah, when you're new, not only will you do anything, but what else?
I'm more excited about it.
Yeah, you're more excited about it. Your passion to start. Like, you haven't, this is new, this is your first opportunity, the second, whatever, you're in your first year. You're into whatever this particular objective is that you're doing. You're like, when you first start, it's really exciting. And then you do it with school, okay? Isn't, like, the first day of class, like, the best, and it's all downhill from there?
It depends on
what
I'm doing.
I've gotten
all my classes, even the new
year. Yeah, but no, like, even, okay, so for me, like, you guys know I'm still taking classes. I love the first day of class because I get to find out who the professor is, or if it's a professor that I know, I get to kind of talk with them. We get to learn who everyone is in the room, and we spend an entire day wasting the period. And then everything, now we have to learn in the work, you know, due dates start coming. And it's like, man, this class is not what I thought it was going to be. It used to be more fun. Okay, and over time, it's like, you know what? I'm really over the Greek language now.
You learn the Greek language?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Greek word?
What?
Ulapalos.
Ulapalos.
Exactly. You know, which is harder because the further up you go, the more rigid the grading skills. But that's typically the case. Now, Zach, it may not be the case with you, but I would imagine the thrill of being paid for your very first lawn care job compared to getting paid after a lawn care job today. Like,
yeah, it's
Work. Now it's like, hey, now you're paying bills. You got to pay for the truck, insurance, fuel, fix the mower. Like, you know, now you know where all that money goes. But when your first paycheck comes in, or you got paid for that first lawn care job, like, I've started a business. You know, and something that's very menial and regular in the scheme of things, because you're new, is like, wow, this is really exciting. Well, keep in mind, what is it that the men in this group around, what is it that they're passionate about? What is it that they are so consumed with that this is why they are here?
The law.
Yeah, the law. Yeah, well, the compliance to the law. See, they're brand new and they're trying to work out this whole, hey, the law says this, we got to do this. But you know, these old guys in the group, you know, they've probably been around to see a loophole or an exception here or there. And so sure, they lead by example, but that's what we see is from oldest to youngest. And John includes that for a reason. John could have told us slowly over the next couple, you know, and slowly they walked away one by one. That would have been the same thing. Story would have gotten us to the same place, but for some reason, John wants you to know that starting with the oldest and going to the youngest, they walked away. So we kind of have to ask ourselves, like, what are, especially those of you that are either seniors now or rising seniors, is what kind of an example are you to those around you? Are you the one saying, hey, let's grab some stones and go throw them at these people who did wrong? Are you setting the example in this room, even, for how you should conduct yourself? What about with the students that are in the other classroom when you interact with them? Do you set an example for them? Is it a good example or a bad example? You're setting an example. It's just, what kind of example are we talking about? But these men walk away one by one, and who is left there at the end of the day, or the end of the story? Jesus and the woman. Now, let's ask this question. Did Jesus know they left?
Yes.
Like, did he need the Holy Spirit dwelling within him to know this? Yeah, you can read the room. Like, no, you would have noticed that everyone walked away. Like, those of you that play sports, whether you play volleyball or you play basketball, because they're indoor sports, you can tell when there's no one in the room. When there were people in the room or they're not. You've been to a professional, you know, whether it's a marksman hockey game or a baseball game or whatever, and what ends up happening when they start losing by a certain percentage and it's close enough to the end, you're like, eh, we can leave. That's okay. It's not important for us to be here anymore. And Jesus is left alone with the woman. And what happens, verse 10? Jesus says, where are they? Now, what's unique about Jesus asking this question?
He already knows that they left.
What, Anna?
He already knows that they left.
Yeah, he already knows that they're gone. Look, he was kneeling on the ground drawing in the dirt, okay? He didn't go hide in a cave. But why does he ask this question?
To make her answer.
Okay, maybe he wants her to wrestle with it. Absolutely. What is it that she's wrestling with now? What does she have to put thought into?
She didn't get stoned.
Okay, I'm not dead, and I could have been. Absolutely. What else?
Has she gotten that situation yet?
Okay, maybe whatever I was doing to get caught, I'm not going to do that again. What else is she thinking about?
Oh, Jesus overruled the Pharisees.
Yeah, this man she's standing in front of is some type of authority that when he said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, they all said, okay, bye. See, keep this in mind. Like, this entire passage is about the authority of Jesus. That's why, if they were justified to kill the woman according to the law, why didn't they do it before they came to Jesus? They wanted Jesus' input on the situation. They want Jesus to weigh in. What do you got to say about this, Jesus? We know what Moses says about this. And they bring, imagine what this woman is thinking as they're dragging her along to go interact with Jesus. We caught this woman in the act of adultery. And there, she's now wrestling with this man has some type of authority, that he spoke these words, and beginning with the older ones, the leaders, the more experienced, with those men, the more they contemplated it, the more they dropped their rock and walked away. And so he says, where are they, knowing that they've already left? But he wants her to wrestle with the fact, hey, you know what? Those people are gone. Has no one condemned you? Where are the people to testify against her? Where does she say they are, verse 11? Jesus says, hey, where are those? Is there no one here to condemn you? And what does she respond with? What, Anna? Yeah, no one. There's none. No witnesses to testify. Then Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go. So you leave. And from now on, sin no more. So if she wasn't already rethinking her life, life choices, circumstances that have brought her here, he has now told her, what brought you here, turn away from. See, we love the idea, students, that Jesus is not going to judge us or that Jesus is not going to cast the first stone at us. We love that concept. But with that concept comes these words from Jesus, go and stop it. What brought you here? Cut it out. Yeah, Robert?
Is there anything like that specifically when he says sin no more?
Well, the reality is he uses the hamartia, which is the word for sin. So those of you that were looking for me to speak Greek, there you go. Hamartia is the Greek word for sin. So he just tells her to go on and sin no more. So we can, the reality is, Robert, is she going to sin again?
That's all I was wondering.
And Jesus knows she is going to sin again. But is she going to sin like that again? Because if Jesus brought her in and he was told she was caught in adultery, we need to judge her, and he says, well, okay, well, any of you that don't have sin can cast the first stone for her judgment. And, oh, by the way, who's the one person in the entire crowd who doesn't have sin who's entitled to throw the first stone?
Jesus.
Jesus is. And he says, well, I'm the one without sin. I'm the one who could cast the stone, but those guys that they decided they don't want to cast the stone, I'm not going to cast it either. So how about we stop this behavior? And I bet you that at some point along the way, this woman recognized, this is the man that could condemn me. But he's not going to. As long as I turn from that sin. Which, that's the application for us, students. It's like, look, if you want Jesus to not condemn you, then you need to turn from the sin that he's told you is sin. And it's got to go away. And you need, and I need, to go on from now and sin no more. And we'll pick up with the light of the world next time.